Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Doing the right thing sometimes, maybe even a lot, costs you something. Oftentimes it is a challenge. Try selling a used car sometime. It will stretch your integrity.
We can never go wrong when we do what is right. That might mean we lose out on something, maybe a lot of extra money, or maybe an opportunity. But whatever it is that we think we're missing out on, when we act in integrity and God is glorified, we have nothing to worry about, because God will provide more than we ever need. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with Philippians 4 verse 9, and the real blessings that come from living in the righteousness of Christ.
Father, we're blessed. We're so thankful for our opportunities to be able to study your word. It is so powerful. It is our authority. We study your word not because we want to try to make it fit into what we believe, but we study your word because we want to know what we believe. And if you say something different in your word than what we believe, then we will change what we believe because your word is true. If your word says something different than what Calvary Chapel believes, we'll believe your word because that's what we follow. And we are committed and devoted to you, Jesus. And we pray that you would bless our time as we study your word today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The title of our message today is The Benefits of Righteous Living. We're going to take a look at the less popular Philippians 4:9 as opposed to the more popular Philippians 4:8. In fact, if you begin any Bible memorization program, whether it's cards that you buy in the bookstore or whether it's an app on your smartphone, and they do have Bible memorization apps. I have one of them. It's a great way to memorize the Bible. If you haven't had a Bible memorization program going on for a while, it's a good way to get you started. Eventually, you're going to pull up Philippians 4:8. They're in everybody's Bible memory verses. It's one that everybody wants you to memorize. We studied it last week. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Think on these things. And it's good for us to think positively. If our minds are full of bitterness, anger, jealousy, lust, self-seeking, the list could go on, then our lives are going to be affected in a negative way. There's no doubt about that. If we instead fill our minds with those things that are right and true and forgiving and gracious and merciful and loving, then it's going to affect our lives. Now, the power of positive thinking, I'd put it this way, the power of godly thinking, because the power of positive thinking, really, the way they present it is nothing. Because they believe that there's some power in your thinking and that your thinking gets out there into the world and manipulates things, and you create your own reality by the power of your incredible mental capacity, which is hogwash. It's not the power of positive thinking, it's the power of godly thinking. Because when you think the right way, you are connecting yourself not to your mental capabilities, but you're connecting yourself to God. And God is the one who creates my reality. I can't create my reality by the power of positive thinking. And I'm sorry if you spent money on a book that told you you could. You can't. But if I put my mind on God and I think positively about God and I fill my mind with His things, which are good and lovely and pure and positive, then God changes my reality. That's the power. So the power of positive thinking can be and has been overstated time and time again. However, what we are covering today, the power of positive living, or the power of doing the right thing, cannot be overstated. In fact, if there's one thing that I can be sure of, that by the time we leave this place, as much as I will try to communicate to you how we are benefited from living right, and how we are not benefited, even though we might think so, by doing wrong, I'm quite sure that I won't make the case as strong as it needs to be made. I'm quite sure that it will be understated by the time that we leave here today. The power of walking in integrity is incredible. There's a proverb that says, there's a man that hoards and gains nothing, and there is another man who scatters and gains everything. That verse has been radically misused when people want to raise money. Well, we're raising money, so if you hoard, you won't get anything. If you give, well, but that's not what the verse says. The person that just grabs a hold of things and even violates his integrity to do that. In other words, doing the right thing sometimes, maybe even a lot, costs you something. Oftentimes it is a challenge. Try selling a used car sometime. It will stretch your integrity. Well, is there anything wrong with the car that you know of? it's been a really good car for us. That and a little bit of oil leak, but a little ticking sound. Pretty good. Doing the right thing, walking in integrity, has a tremendous amount of power. And when you hoard by not having integrity, when you gain from it, you don't really gain from it. Because all of a sudden, God's against you. The Bible says, I'm going to give you the King James here because it cracks me up. Ill-gotten gain doesn't benefit you. Now, the reason that the word ill-gotten gain cracks me up is because I think of Gomer Pyle. Any of you guys remember that episode? There's an episode, I can't remember if it was gambling or it was something else, but Gomer Pyle started going, ill-gotten gain, ill-gotten gain, ill-gotten gain. The truth is, ill-gotten gain, money made the wrong way, you did something wrong in order to gain something, will not benefit you. The Bible says money made the wrong way will make itself wings and fly away. You think that you've gained from it, but remember, anything can happen that can cost you money. God can cause anything to happen in your life that can take that money away from you. Not only can God do that, but the Bible says that He does. When you live in a lack of integrity and you think you are gaining from that, you are not. The Bible says God is against the man who lacks integrity. And we live in a time when the lack of integrity is something that seems to be accepted. Well, what I want to do is what's good for me, not necessarily what is the right thing to do, which is, by the way, my definition of righteousness. The thing's gone now, but that's my definition of righteousness, doing the right thing. My dad lived in a time, maybe our parents, I'm speaking of my age, lived in a time where integrity was taught and expected. My dad wanted to teach me integrity. Well, I lived in a time when people sought after their own way, when people did what they did to benefit themselves. It was radically different than the days that my dad lived in. If there was anything that I knew about my dad, it was that my dad was going to walk in integrity. If there's anything I knew about my dad, I knew he wanted the truth from me. My dad used to tell me, Robert, you can tell me anything, but if you ever lie to me, I will beat you within an inch of your life. And indeed, my dad did mean that he would beat me within an inch of my life. I think that happened 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 or 20 times. It's really funny that God gave a man who was so committed to the truth a liar for a son. One day I lied to him about seeing a rattlesnake. Dad, I saw a rattlesnake in this. I don't know why I told him that. We looked for that snake for 4 hours. I almost told him, okay, Dad, I lied. I never saw. I told him I got beat up one time when I didn't get beat up. Why? Who knows? Who knows why kids do what they do, right? I don't have any idea why I did that. But we certainly live in a time where integrity has gone out the window and where we think, boy, if I can lie or if I can cheat or no one's looking, I can take this or I can embezzle or I can take some of these things from my company that I work for and bring them home. That's going to help me out. If I can take the toilet paper, I don't have to go buy toilet paper. And we think somehow we're going to be helped by that. Understand the Bible says you won't. That when you live that way, God is against you. But when you live with integrity, when you say, even though this cost me, God blesses you from it. Now, I'm not saying that God will bless you immediately. In fact, let me read to you a few Proverbs. All I did to get these Proverbs was open up the book of Proverbs. I'm not even sure where I opened it up to. I just flopped it open because I know that almost every chapter has a comparison with the righteous and the wicked. We could say those with integrity and those not with integrity in the scriptures, in Proverbs. So I flipped it open and I just went down the list and I just wrote down the verses that talked about righteousness. And I picked out about 12 of them. I have 6 of them to read you here today. The first one says, though the righteous falls 7 times, he will get up again, but the wicked will fall to utter destruction. It's not that by walking righteous and always doing what's right means we will never fall. It doesn't mean that it will never hurt us. Sometimes there is a cost to doing the right thing. That is why we struggle with it, because we think instead of trusting in God to work it out and lift us back up again, we'll grab a hold of our lives. I was, 23 years old or so, and I had sold a business. I did auto upholstery. Started doing it when I was like 17 years old. By the time I was in my early 20s, I had a couple of different shops, actually. I had a couple of them that failed, then I had a successful one, and I sold it. I went out looking for a job. It was the early 80s. It's kind of hard to find a job. I was struggling and finding one. I finally found a job in a trim shop, an upholstery shop, and making 37.5% of whatever I did on commission. Now, that's really good, because this is going to shock you guys. I can work really fast. And so working on commission for me, how much upholstery I could do, I could make good money. And it was a good thing, 37.5% of everything that I did. It was good. Back then, this is the early 80s, and I could do, $400-$500 worth of work a day. It was good money at that time. I asked him when I could start. He said immediately. I said, I need to go get my tools. So I went and I got my tools, and I brought my tools back, and he said, let me show you where you're going to work. And he took me back to the workshop, and I put my tools on the countertop on the table, and I looked up on the wall, and I am not kidding you. The wall was covered from edge to edge with pinups, with nude pictures. And I looked at the wall, and I looked at my toolbox, and I knew myself. I knew there was no way I was going to be able to work there and not look at that wall. Every guy would know themselves. If you would say, not me, I would say, liar. I knew I couldn't work there. And so I went back and I got my toolbox and I sat it down. I knocked on the office. I went and I said, I'm sorry, I can't work here. And he said, why not? And I said, well, because you got these pinups all over your shop. And he laughed. He giggled. Okay, he said, fine. And so I picked up my toolbox and I left. Now, I'd like to tell you that God honored me, and later on that day, I found a job for 50% commission. But that didn't happen. For the next few months, 3-4 months, I couldn't find a job. We had to live off of my wife's salary. It was one of the most difficult financial times that we have ever had. We fell behind on all of our bills during that time. In fact, when I finally did find a job, I created it. I went into a place called Murphy Dorn and I said, listen, they did vinyl tops and convertible tops and pinstriping and cruise controls and radios. And I went in and said, listen, you know what you're missing from your business? Upholstery. You guys do everything else on cars. If you had upholstery here and I can establish it for you, I can set it up for you. You give me a couple of employees and I'll train them and you can have a whole upholstery section. And I sold them on that idea. That's the way I ended up getting a job. But during those times, it was incredibly tough. You might say, well, why wouldn't God honor you when you made the right decision? Because God doesn't always promise that doing what is right isn't going to cost you. In fact, I believe it needs to cost you. I think we should do what's right no matter what it costs you. And here it is. Even though I fell, even though we struggled, even though financially it was a particularly difficult time in our marriage and in our lives, God lifted me up. I didn't stay there. We fell there, but I didn't stay there. Though the righteous falls 7 times, God will lift him up. But the ungodly will fall to utter destruction. I do think that God honored me, not right away. I think God wanted me to know that there was a cost to doing what was right. There's always a cost to doing what is right. Nevertheless, it is important for us to do it. Another proverb says, and the righteousness of the upright will deliver him. And righteousness leads to life. Another proverb, he who trusts in riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. How many times do we compromise our integrity for money, thinking that that's going to advance us, thinking that that's going to help us out? I speak specifically to the businessmen that are among us. There are so many opportunities to make money by compromising your integrity. You will never be helped by doing that. You will be a much stronger businessman, even though it might cost you. Your life will be blessed, and the righteousness will flourish, but those who trust in riches will fall. And again, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. And a good man obtains favor from the Lord. Now, I'd like to go quickly past that, but think of it. A good man obtains favor from God. Do you want God on your side? Romans 8, Paul said, though we are knocked down, we are not knocked out. Though we might face difficulties, we will not be utterly destroyed by it, because a good man has favor from God. And finally, the root of righteousness cannot be moved. When you have integrity, when you are a man that desires righteousness, when you stand in that righteousness, there is a root that has grown there, and you cannot be moved from that. Now, maybe a challenge for us to be able to stand. And even though today I may present myself as one who never struggles in integrity, that I give this study in such a way that you might think, well, Robert has great integrity. At times I fail in my integrity. At times I'm ashamed that I fail in my integrity. And I call out to God for forgiveness. And God is strengthening me. And by His grace, I am becoming that man that the Bible says is a righteous man. The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. This tells me that if we have that desire, that God will do it. And even though we may have lacked integrity on a lot of different areas, and even though it may be a struggle, and even though it may take time for you to change and to come to that place where you are one of those who is righteous and your root goes down deep and you can't be moved, it will happen. Because blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. God will empower you to be able to live the life that God calls you to live with God, with the favor of God in your life. Now, that's my intro. Let's look at verse 9. Here it is compared to verse 8. In verse 8, it said, remember we just talked about it, think on these things, the power of positive thinking. Now we have in verse 9, the power of positive doing. Okay? Look at what it says. The things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Did you notice the connection? The very last part of verse 8, meditate on these things and the things which you learned, received, heard, and saw in me, these do. Now, Paul is saying, follow my example. Paul was an apostle. He lived in integrity. If he didn't live in integrity, then he shouldn't have been an apostle. And he lived in such a way that people around him saw his integrity. If you share the truth, but you don't live the truth, you have a weakness in your teaching. Any pastor that preaches but doesn't live what he preaches is a weak pastor. His teachings will ultimately be weak because he doesn't live them. He doesn't have the experience of taking those things and applying them in his life. He can't share the struggles, the difficulties of applying those truths to his life because he's not doing it. And I believe that if a pastor can't say these words, whatever you have seen, heard, received, and learned from me, do these things, I think that pastor shouldn't be in the pulpit. I think that you ought to be able to watch his life on all levels, see them, and know that he is living what he is doing. I believe that about leaders as well. Not only pastors, but anyone who's in a position of leadership. Whether you teach a Sunday school class or some involved in the women's ministry or the men's ministry or home fellowships or prison ministry or whatever part of the church you're involved in, if you're a leader, you need to have integrity. You need to be able to say the things that you saw, heard, received, and learned in me, these do. You need to be able to have an example in your life. Let me go one step further. If you're a Christian, you need to be able to say this. Because everywhere you go, people see you. And if you let them know I'm a Christian, they're watching you. And if you live no different than they do, why would they ever want to come to Jesus? If you have committed your life to Christ and you're still cussing and drinking and carousing and living your life in some ungodly way, And the only difference between you now and the you used to be is that you go to church on Sunday. I can say that God's not pleased with you. In fact, I could say you need to examine yourself to see whether or not you're really in the faith. Because a sign that you are a Christian is that you keep God's commandments. Doesn't mean you always keep them. Doesn't mean you don't struggle. Doesn't mean you need to have God's forgiveness. We all need that. We're not pretending here. We're not putting on a pretense. There are churches that do. I've been to them. I've been members in churches that put on pretenses. Everybody walks around like, yes, I'm a Christian and I'm perfect. When you say, well, I was watching TV the other day, they say, TV? I don't have a TV. Because I'm godly. I'm a Christian. We don't have those kind of pretenses. I've endeavored to be as honest with you guys and as transparent with you guys as I can possibly be. I want to be real. I want you guys to be real in your faith. I don't want a bunch of pretenses to happen, but I also don't want us to lack integrity. I also want us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I want us to discover what's here so that the people around you, this is our call. This is our job. You guys have been called to this, to preach the gospel to all nations. And if they see you out there drinking and cussing and seeking sex, and that's what they see you doing, and then you say, I'm a Christian, you need to come to church with me, they're going to say, no way. Church is full of hypocrites. And to some degree, they're right, because there are people that are not living the way that they should. I've said before, and I mean it, if you're living that kind of a lifestyle, don't tell people you're a Christian. If you say, I'm a Christian, and the only difference is you're going to church now, then don't tell people you're a Christian, because I really question whether or not you are. The Bible says, examine yourself to see whether or not you're in the faith. Raising your hand, praying a prayer, going forward doesn't make you a Christian. There is a commitment that takes place that causes a radical change inside of you. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away and everything becomes new. And if everything hasn't become new for you, then you've got to examine yourself. And see, and come back to him and say, Lord, forgive me. And I give my life to you. And the fruit that you have really made that kind of a commitment will be righteous living. Not that you're perfect, but the fruit will be righteous living. And the people around you will see it. And they'll be drawn to Christ in you, the hope of glory. The people you work with, the people you go to school with, the people that come over to your house on Thanksgiving and argue in your home. They'll see it and they'll be drawn to Christ. I told you that I had gotten a job by kind of developing it myself. I went in and talked to a place called Murphy Dorn, and I told him I'd start upholstery for him. And when I started, the very first day, the guys that were in the shop started telling dirty jokes. And I'm working a little bit and I'm kind of quiet at first. And then finally I said, you know what, guys, listen, I'm a Christian and I really don't appreciate your jokes. So if you could just not tell them while I'm around, I'd appreciate it. Well, that was the worst thing to do because these guys started telling me the dirty jokes. And in fact, I became their project. They had determined that they wanted to make me sin. And true to their word, they tried. Every Friday I would walk out there, they'd be getting a start on their weekend. They had their case of beer that was there, and they would toss a beer at me, and I would catch that beer and I would throw it back at them. Had I popped it and even drank one beer, even though you might be able to make an argument that it wasn't sin, I would have lost my testimony to those guys. And I'm not trying to make myself out as being perfect all of the time, but I am saying when we make an effort to walk in godliness, then people around us see it. Now, before I left, I was able to share Christ with every single guy that was there. So this verse isn't just for apostles or pastors or church leaders, it's for all of us.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast for Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's Julian, Tucson, Arizona, 80. 5706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.